بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اسماعيل زي grammatarian. Like we have in every language, people that excelled in certain sciences, so he excelled in grammar. So he says, I was looking out for some words, but I wanted to see the origins, how they originate, and what is the original usage of the word. One is the present usage, and one is what is the original, how did it originate. So normally this type of information you will get right in the sticks, in the depth of the sticks, right to the villages, deep into the villages you'll find this type of language being spoken. So he says, I came up to one village and I got familiar with the surroundings, stayed a couple of days, and was at one place, one spot. So the child came up to the granny and says to the granny that Ja'a al-Raqim وَأَخَذَ الْمَطَاعَ وَتَبَارَكَ الْجَبَلِ. So these are amongst the words that I was searching for. Whole host of words, but I wanted to see the original, how it's used. So Raqim is the name of the dog, a dog that is a little bit brown in color, brown perhaps with some spots. So that's a Raqim. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. So what is the original use? Now, after a passage of time, then the word is used for different reasons. Right? Like this, for example, one simple example is coming to my mind. You know, as you go straight on the coast, past Pingo Beach, the next beach is called Dakota Beach. Now, most of you all don't know what is the origin. Wajah Tasmiya. Why was it named Dakota Beach? So I was here at the spot. What happened? How it came out, I was there. So this was, I think, around 67, 68 somewhere. And a small passenger plane. The thing had some problem and he had to force land. So it landed there. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, everybody was saved. But because it was a Dakota plain, so they called it a Dakota beach. Now, with the passage of time, then something happens to the name, where the name originated. One person will give one story, one person will give another story. But if someone was there at that time, he knows exactly, all right, this is what happened. So he says, these were the words that I was in search of. One was a Raqim, so I saw it. Alright, this is the color of the dog. If it has that brownish color with some spots, then you call it a Raqim. Then the second word that I was in search of was Mata. In numerous places, the Quran says, Mata'ul Ghurur, goods of deception. This is how we translate it, right? But the word mata, what is its original use? Where did it come from? What was the original use? So this youngster had been speaking to his granny, and I was there at the conversation. I saw the dog, I saw everything. So what I had seen, the dog had come and picked up the kitchen rag. In Gujarat they say katko, right? So any small dirt, some milk spilled, so they'll clean it up. They need to clean one small pot or something, so they'll clean that up with the rag. So the whole world has been called katko, a dirty rag. So in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is nothing more than a dirty rag. All the importance that we attach to it, the significance we attach to it, but then when we see its reality in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, this is what it amounts to. And sometimes this picture becomes so real, Imagine person's got all the wealth, right? Investments, cars, planes, jets, control, authority, what everything, right? Whatever you can think about, whatever wealth you can imagine, he's got everything. And for a moment, just think now that man has died, right? This is wealth, and this is his body. I say, that is this worth anything to him? Is it worth anything, any cent? But this reality only strikes at that moment, at that crucial point, then you understand, you know, a friend, you only know him at the time of a calamity. When there's a calamity, now, does he stand on your side or does he escape at that time? You begin to see his true colors then. So this is the most real moment of life. That is that examination. In the examination, in the imtihan, yukramul insanu aw yuhan, you understand that this person is worthy of respect or disgrace. Before he was talking great about himself, now at the imtihan, at the test, now you see the true color of the person. In about 74, I remember, when Miasam at that time, you know. So, there was one boy that came in from Durban, 73 I think it was, maybe 73, around that time. So, karate and all, it just came out at that time, 71, 72, 73. Give you one, you know, one strike and he can split the brick. You know, you're getting excited now. All children now, so you're getting excited. This person must be so tough, you know, one split, one shortened brick is in two pieces. He's showing all his acts, what I can do, and I push this person down here, that person, I put him down. So anyway, one night, about say 9, 10 o'clock at night, there was some talk, some rumor, that some rogues came to the cottages. Cottages are the ustads in the Mia's homes. They call it cottages. So there was some rumor that some rogues came in. So I told him, you know what, hey, you're the right person. They were searching for you. So you have to go and just sort it out. One shot this side, one shot, put two, three people, you'll put them away. Without exaggeration, it took him about 1 hour to put his techies on only. So, in the imtihan, you know, at the trial moment, you begin to see the true colors of the person. Before that, you don't know where he stands. This side, is he loyal to you, not loyal to you? Is he friendly? Or is he just talking, just... So, mata, that was the second word that he was in search of. And Allah Pak shows the reality of mata, it's just a rag, dirty rag, that's all. In his sight, it's not worth anything. Yes, we not write it off. We need it, right? We need a little bit of convenience. The idea is we use it, but we don't cherish it. We use it, we don't worship it. Use it and throw it. Use it and keep it. But now to worship it and to make it an objective and to talk about it and to bloat and tow and gloat about it, we're off the, totally off the course. Yes, you just used it and kept it. Used it and kept it, like how toilet. Use it. You don't say you don't need it. You need it. Child gets constipated, what happens? So you need the place. But it's not a place that you'll cherish. And when mehman come now, guests come, hey, see my toilet. And see the stuff that is lying there. See the, how beautiful it's lying. Do you show it? No, no. It's a thing that you resent, but you have to do it, so you do it. So that's the world. You resent it, but because you are built in such a way that you need it, so you keep the thing. But you gloat about it, you boast about it, you're going off the course. Then you'll put yourself into difficulties. Get into interest, get into problems, get into difficulties. Why? It became an act of, it became an object of worship. It was another goal, it was another god. Is that, where I told you interest, interest. It told you finance, finance. It told you the miss your namaz. Anything, it becomes your director, it becomes your instructor, it becomes your god. فَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Temptations become your god, they begin to rule your life. So you needed to rule that thing, you needed to control it. That thing wasn't supposed to be controlling your life. It wasn't supposed to be ruling your life. You're not supposed to be attaching it to your heart. Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib says he's from Thanabon, although he lived in Kanpur for about 14, 15 years. It was his father's wish. that whatever kitabs that he's learned, he must, that kitabs, he must get a good hold of it. Because he learned, he spent so many years, six, seven years in kitabs. So if he just leaves it and goes to do tabligh straight away, for example, just goes to give bayan straight away, then he won't have a good mastery over the kitabs. But now, if he's learned the kitabs, and thereafter he's had an exposure for some period, so whatever he's learned, he's got a mastery over it. Now you can use it wherever it's required for the defense and the protection of Islam. You can use it very well. And you don't have a very good hold of it. So what happens? You can't use it. And apart from not using it properly and completely, you can be turned away. Someone can turn you this way, someone can turn you on that way. And today's storms, you don't know which direction is coming. People say you get four weathers in one day. So fitnas also, you get four different type of fitnas in one single day. One fitna coming up in the morning, but the afternoon there's another fitna coming up, and before you know it, there's another third fitna coming up, one day or one week, and you'll see three, four fitnas coming up at one and the same time. So now the strength that you need to have, either you hold on to some very great buzurug, very, very great buzurug, you hold on to him, or otherwise your knowledge is so sound that you don't get turned away. Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullahi alayhi, Shaitan came up to him and said, whose iman is stronger? My iman? Shaitan comes and tells him, is your iman stronger? You can see this villager that is tilting the farms there, tilling the farms. So, whose iman is stronger? Your iman? You are such a great allama, such a great alim you are, and a scientist and whatever, and a philosopher. And that farmer that is tilling the farm there, whose iman is stronger? So Fakhruddin Razi was also a philosopher, and in English they call him Razes, right? Like how Imam Ghazali, Ghazal, they call him. So he was a farmer as well. He was a philosopher and a scientist of his time. So he says, obviously my iman is stronger than his iman. Why? What's the reason? So, meri iman to tahqiq hai, uski iman to taqlid hai. My iman is based on research. I researched the whole thing and I came up to this conclusion. And that farmer, that villager, his iman is based on what he inherited from his father and so and so. Father learned from the grandfather, grandfather from so and so. They carried on in that way. There was one, I'll come to this again, one more Abdul Qayyum from Bhopal, those days, you see. So, people ask him, you know, you say this, masla is like this, but what's the proof for it? Have you got any proof for it? So he says to him, you see what? I'm not a new Muslim, I'm an old Muslim. I'm an original Muslim, not a new Muslim. This type of research is required by people that are convert Muslims. My father was a Muslim, and my grandfather was a Muslim, and so forth and so on. I come to the top of all Muslims. But this research and all that, who requires it is a new Muslim. Like someone asks you, came to Makkah Mukarramah, and he asks you, where's the Baytullah? He said, this is the Baytullah, right? What's your proof? So, well, I'm an original Muslim, I know this is the Kaaba Sharif. My father said this, and he was taught by his grandfather and so forth and so on. No doubt about it. Yes, sir, convert now, you've explained him, alright, you know what, this place here, at this degree here, and at this point, and this how it looks like a cubic, etc. So now, that new person, you have to explain him. But an original Muslim doesn't require all these explanations. And cut him off there and then, straight, finished. So either your knowledge is very strong, and you don't get confused, you don't get complicated. One storm is coming from this side, you're moving on that end. Another storm is coming from another end, you're moving on that end. No stability, no firmness. Anybody can come up with any new concept, new idea, and you just get driven away. The importance of this tali. When he was foreseeing the fitnas, he's seeing what's going on, how the sequence of events, you know. He's seeing it. And he saw what's going to happen, right? Basira, the type of work you do, Allah opens your eyes for that. So that for me now, in my side, this ilm and getting that stronghold of iman looks like farz ain now. Sitting with the buzurug is like a farz ain. Because the way people are getting lost and confused. From this end to that end to this end. Everything and anything can just turn the person. They don't have the stability. They're not so strong. So one of the two is required, genuinely it's required, and you need to be very strong in one of these two. Otherwise you get swept off. So this was the second word, mata. See? That Ismail rahmatullahi was looking out for. And the branch of, I said, the stability in deen is required. It's so, so important. That you don't get moved by anything. I was explaining about Razi rahmatullahi, right? So Shaitan is telling him, that time, those zamanas, Shaitan used to appear, right? Now, he doesn't appear now, right? he doesn't see the need perhaps to make an appearance like he used to make the appearance in those days. So I got enough agents, you know, a lot of chelas, they're doing the work for me now. What's the need for me to appear? I need to control. See, you know, everybody is doing the work properly. The control of a seat. And someone is telling me, in Los Angeles, the thugs, you know, the head of the thugs, they're sitting in the prison, and they're controlling a robbery. Alright, make this move, move here, move there. They're seeing the whole thing. And they're organizing the robbery, the masterpiece, masterpiece. Now, they can't make out, hey, how these people are planning it so beautifully. The chap is sitting in the prison, nobody's going to ever suspect him in the prison. So the shaitan also, perhaps, you know, he's got his chelas and can just remote control them. Like how from the prison, they're being remote controlled. See the importance of stability in ilm, stability in amal. You need that, both you need. And either you have a sheikh, proper sheikh, sound, or proper ilm. So Shaitan is now confusing Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh. So he says, my knowledge is based on tahqiq or research. I have researched, I have seen the whole thing. From A to Z, I have seen the whole thing. And this person here, his iman is based on what he inherited. So obviously mine is stronger than his. So I'll break you in two truths. This person's iman, I'll show you how strong his iman is. So just to test him out, says, goes to the farmer. Turning the soil. So he says, Khuda kitne, how many gods? One. So Shaitan is asking, and if I prove it, that there is more than one god, then, you see this axe that I've got, I'll split it in two clean pieces. Two clean pieces, I'll just split it out. So now Shaitan is telling Imam Razi, dekho, unse baat karte hai to, marne jagarne ki baat karte hai. When you talk to him, he's just talking about killing. You don't stand a chance with these people. This way or the other way. One way or the other way. They're so strong in what they're doing. And you, I'll show you how I'll fix you up. So anyway, Imam Razi rahmatullahi is in the throes of death, right at the end of his life. When he comes at the end of his life, now Shaitan will get people according to their personalities. Each person he won't attack in one and the same way. There was one Buzrug in Darul Dioban, used to call him Bhai Saeed, Mohammad Gangohi Sahib's grandson. So he used to go to him, very simple, passed away in wuzu, in sajda, he passed away, right? So he used to go to him, take his dua, some advice, etc., and carry on. So one standard advice he used to give was, Shaitan doesn't attack every person in one and the same way. He sizes the person up, and he says, alright, this person here, this is the type of assault. So when I need to assault him in this way. In Gujarati they say, garak ne joine pari ko banvanu. You know, you package the product after you see the client. So the client now, he wanted like this, so give it to him like that. See the other client now, you see him now, you package it, but package it differently according to you. You'll get your money. So Shaitan also is quite intelligent now. So many years of business he's done. So he knows now how to package it for a different person. Every person knows how to package it. One person will come in a package of a woman, someone wealth, someone in one way, someone in the other way. Someone in second nikah. Yeah, but second nikah is important, man. You know what? You must do it. Because everybody is against the second nikah, must do it. But the moment he gets into a second nikah, now that second nikah is thing of a young girl, right? And she doesn't know how to cook, etc. Now he's used to his Indian food, tarkari and kari kishri and whatever else. Now the second one comes, she's coming for a joyride, right? So the first one is expected to make the khidmat of the second one. Now, is that being fair? She burnt herself for the first, she burnt herself for her, for him and for the children. And when she's burning, she's old now, she needs to pension off and take it easy. Now you're getting the second one. And not only are you giving all the attention to the second one, but the first one must slave for the second one. Is that right? Is that equality? Is that justice? So that's why I have to say, most Indians don't have the strength for it. In the words of Umarji Rahmatullahi, it's the greed, it's not the need. One is a genuine need, and one is a greed. So you can't differentiate. You can't differentiate, you just jump to conclusion, no, I need to have it. Break this custom here. It's not a custom, it's a point, it's a question of, are you in need? Do you have the strength for it? If you have a strength for it, then there won't be any complaints. I don't remember an Indian Muslim who got married and his case came to me. But there was complaints. There were complaints either from the son, for the second wife. And now there is complaints. And the complaints were right. Absolutely. There were no flaws. It was not just, alright, they have a little bit of a, they're jealous about themselves. They're possessive, right? But apart from the possessiveness, there is a problem. You can't maintain that level of justice. So why must talk about it? You can maintain it very good. But you can't maintain it, then why must you talk about it? And then, some of them are a little bit more funny, you see. How they do it, how they work that out is that, they keep that woman on an edge, you know. You do this, then, you know, I'm going again. Going for a second woman. Now you're keeping the woman on an edge. If someone kept you on the edge, how would you feel? Today, you are threatening someone else's daughter. Tomorrow it will be your daughter. That will be threatened. How will you feel at that time? That respect, that consideration, appreciation, everything is forgotten. What she been doing all the years, the respect, the muhabbat, the cooperation, everything that she's given you, everything is forgotten. And then you keep on the edge all the time. So Shaitan has come to Imam Razi rahmatullahi, and I say, this buzrug used to tell us that Shaitan will package it according to the client. So one person will engage him in a fight. One person, he'll be humanizing. One person will be in the phone all the time, looking at all the WhatsApp. So he puts him into a layani. All his time is being consumed in the layani. Unnecessary. He's phoning this person here, getting a message from that person, writing up to that person, and receiving a message. His mind is embroiled. There's nothing constructive that is taking place. And he doesn't even realize that he's not producing anything constructive. He sees all the messages, reads everything. What's the level of production? You know, you read everything, there is production. You read so much of information on business, but how much you made? The idea is how much you made. It's not how much you read up. You read up so much, but what business have you made? So you read so much, but what have you produced? So now, that's where people get confused. They read up and all that. Confuse their minds when the production is null, hardly any production. How much namaz you made? Was your namaz on time? Did you do your tilawat properly? Do you remember your Quran Sharif or you've forgotten? Dhahaq rahmatullahi is a famous tabi'i. So under the verse, ma asabakum min musibatin fa bima kasabat aydikum. Whatever misfortune happens, it's because of what your hands have earned, right? Because of what your hands have earned. See, right under the verse, to the extent even you forget the Quran Sharif is because of some wrong that you have done. Person could read 3 siparas, 5 siparas, 10 siparas. It was just flowing. And then now suddenly there's a collapse. He can't recite the Quran Sharif with that flow that he used to recite. He doesn't have it. So what is the cause? He says there is some sin. Sometimes the wrong is known, sometimes it's unbeknown. It's not that you didn't commit something, some wrong. It's either a guna, or either it's something that was not, you know, it didn't concern you, you got involved in it. When you got involved in it, then the more important things got neglected before God yakuna chali. So when you become a hafiz, it's not just a certificate and a jalsa and feeding and a talk thereafter. It's not that. The more important thing is after the memorization of the Quran Sharif, how are you going to display the Quran Sharif? Reciting it, applying it into your life, thinking over the message of Allah Ta'ala. That's what's important. That's what's more important. Otherwise, the Quran Sharif just becomes a routine. Just read a routine. So continuously you add the Quran Sharif. You want to know the message of Allah, what Allah Pak wants. Instead of trying to work out what's up, you know. Look, what's in the Quran Sharif? What is the message of Allah Ta'ala? But everybody mustn't try and examine the Quran Sharif himself. There are those verses of the Quran Sharif that are plain everybody can understand. Some incidents, some stories. Lut alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, that is clear. لَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ. This is what is meant, right? Or it is, for example, aspects of Tawheed, oneness of Allah. Allah shows us Tawheed. And these lessons are quite clear. Lessons about Qiyamah is clear. But then there are some secondary matters, matters that are quite deep. For that you require a level of understanding. Now you don't have the level of understanding and you try and employ your own intelligence, obviously you will come to the wrong ends. You don't have the primary level knowledge and you want to then experiment. If you have the primary level knowledge, then you look at it, it's not a problem. But you don't have the basics. When you don't have the basics, how are you going to come to the right ends? You to understand it, see the parameters, etc. Then you apply yourself, it's alright. I remember, I won't mention the person, I know the person, right, but I won't mention his name. Around the 70s, a prominent Muslim businessman, he fell ill. So a doctor administered a penicillin injection. He went into a coma. Lucky he got a full stop, right? But then only they discovered that he was allergic to that penicillin. Now that was a quack doctor. He wasn't a professional, experienced person. So when he's not an experienced person, it could be a life-threatening situation. So like that medicine is important, because it's a medication, it will recover, restore your health. The Quran also is a shifa, it's a healing. مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. It's a shifa, but it's a spiritual healing. For the spiritual healing, you require the type of specialist as well. He will show you and he will direct you correctly. So the easy way to get that is there's so many ulama, and there are those ulama that are quite understanding. They understand the Quran Sharif, the message. They got the experience. So you look, listen to them. Ask them just once a week or twice a week. Give us some lesson. So you're taking that back, you're understanding, and you're reflecting over the words that he's given, that Alim has given. So now that's a lesson for the week. Listen for 2 weeks. So who of us is doing that? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Isn't that a right of the Quran Sharif? You read it, you apply it, and you ponder over the contents. Isn't that a right of the Quran Sharif? Subjects that you can understand, you can relate. It's not a complicated thing, straightforward thing, qiyamah. Like I'm talking about death now, right? So it's a straightforward thing. Can't we just contemplate? Now why must we go into deeper things, things that are beyond our understanding? And then we risk our iman. So Imam Razi rahmatullahi now is on the throes of death. At that time Shaitan comes again. So I showed you, I told you, you will fix you up. In two I'll fix you up. So he says, what's your proof? Oneness of Allah, what's your proof? Tenders one proof. So Shaitan counters him. Second, counters him again. Third, and Shaitan counters him. You see that happening in your namaz, right? Sometimes Shaitan comes with a force. What about this? What about this? So forget you answering Allah. Don't answer him. So now he's showing his intelligence. See, I learned philosophy. So see, now I can answer Shaitan as well. Now that's not the way. That's not the way. Shaitan has got more or less the characteristics of a dog. See, the more you charge, the more it will become aggressive. The more you charge, the more it will become aggressive. So that's not the way to charge. So the same, when he inserts those thoughts in your mind, the more you answer it, the more aggression they're going to come up with. So he's answering one question, and the second one, and the third one, and he's counting. Now Shaitan, Imam Razi realizes, this 99 arguments I've been through, and I'm right in this predicament, last moments of my life. And he says, what's happening? Well, I've tended 99 proofs, I just got one proof left. In the meanwhile, his Shaykh Allah Ta'ala just opened the whole picture for him. See, sometimes a thing at a distance is shown clear, close to the person, right? Like you see Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Sari al Jabal, right? So the thing that is at a distance is made clear, is made close. So the Shaykh from that spot, he shouts out, just say, Us la'in ko kehdo, say that wretched shaitan, shame, that cursed one, tell him that I believe in Allah Ta'ala without a proof. I believe in Allah Ta'ala without the proof. So when this thing happens in your namaz or at any time, then say, I believe in Allah Ta'ala without, I don't need a proof. You may need a proof, you carry on. But I don't need to discuss with you. I don't need to engage with you. I believe and I don't need a proof. Why? You don't need to know why. It's my business. I believe and I believe without a proof. I don't need to engage with you. Saying these words, and his ruh just departed. I believe in Allah Ta'ala without a proof. It's so easy, but just be firm, be strong. Say the storms, the hurricanes of fitna are coming up. I remember, I think it was 79 or so. 79, it was in Jalalabad that year. So some senior ulama came there. And they are talking some serious, heavy, high-level talks. They're talking, you know, khidmat of Islam in this part of the world, that part of the world. Listen. So Hazrat was calm, and thereafter he looked at them. Are tum bari bari baatein kar rahe hain? Yahan par iman ke upar lale par rahe. Isko sahi karo, bhai. You're talking of high-level, high-level talks, and iman is not safe. Iman is not safe. Go and correct your iman first. Get your iman strong. Iman, get it strong. No matter where you are, you're still firm. Firm as ever. Whether you are in the far east or the far west. Whether it's the day or the night. Whether you're amongst friends or alone. Whether you're in solitude or you're socializing. But your iman is like a mountain. Can't be shifted. That is how iman is supposed to be. So we're talking about the third word, right? Ismail was looking for the third word, Raqim, Mata, and Tabarak. So this was the third word that he was looking for. What is the meaning of Tabarak? Tabarak al-Jabal. You know, you see, Tabarak al-Ladhi biyadil mulk. So what is the original word? What is the original meaning? Where does it fit in? So he says that Raqim dog came in, it took that kitchen rag, Mata, وَتَبَارَكَ الْجَبَلِ Tabarak, the actual word, what the dog, how it was standing, how it was resting, you know, it was equally balanced on all its fours. You know, it's, you know, I don't know if you've seen, when an animal is focused on attacking its prey, you know, it's motionless, but if it needs to attack, just one stroke, you know, one stroke it will get the thing. So the way it's balanced, that if a prey comes in sight, in one stroke, then you'll get it. So when you say, Tabarak al-Ladhi biyadil mulk, you're saying Tabarak to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, if Allah Ta'ala wants to do something, he just says, Kun fayakun. Be, and it is. So it is immediate. His intention is existence. He must intend, and his intention is existence. So there is no delay between the intention and the existence. He must intend a thing and it is. So that is Tabarak. See, Subhanallah. Tabarak Allahu Rabbul Alami. So you see the worthlessness of this world. Man kana yuridu harth al-akhirati nazid lahu fi harthi. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا Make up your mind what you want. You can't say I want both. You want this or that. If you say you want the hereafter, then be content. Now don't chase. Don't chase. Don't make it a goal. You know, chase, you'll keep on chasing, and the world will enslave you, really. Every maneuver of yours is directed, commanded by the world. Temptation, world, luxury will begin to become your God. Do this, you'll do this. Sit down, you'll sit down. Talk to this girl, you'll talk to that, you'll talk. Everything you'll do, because the world is now become your boss. You became the slave, that thing became your boss. That thing is directing you. Wherever it's taking you, you're going in that direction. So make up your mind, who's the boss? Are you the boss or the world your boss? If that's going to be your boss, it's going to direct your whole life. Now holiday time is approaching. Now book this hotel here, cabanas, for just 2 days, 30,000-40,000 rand. So who? The world became your God. You know what? This money I got, he's got a 4x4, and you're still playing around. It's all Corolla. So you also do some financing, and you'll get a Corolla as well. See, now put yourself into difficulty. What became your boss? Wealth, money, luxury, comfort, that became your boss. And that became your boss, now that thing must direct you. And then to get into any evil is simple. It just needs to overwhelm you. You just need to be overwhelmed with that wealth. Get into insurance, some ulama says, alright, permissible. So that overwhelming influence of that wealth will just still manipulate you. It will manipulate you in any direction. The answer that Islam has got is not financing. That's not the answer to that Islam has given. The answer that Islam has given is two hadiths. One is, مَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَنْ يَسْتَعِفَّ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهِ. You refrain from asking, getting into problems, just refrain, stay away, keep away. Don't ask, don't look for more, keep away. يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهِ, Allah Ta'ala will protect you, He will take care of you. مَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِي اللَّهِ. Show that you don't need, and Allah Ta'ala will take care of you. يَسْتَغْنِي here will not mean show an attitude. It will mean, show that I don't need. Show that independence. When you show that independence, then Allah Ta'ala will also take care of you. Imam Tahir said that, I don't listen to women, but on one occasion I had to listen to my wife. So he says, you know, he's called everywhere for bayaz, whatever. So as he's going now, Muaz is to dress up very simply. Very, very simple. No airs about his dressing and all that. Very simple clothing. So the wife, every wife wants to dwell the husband, right? You ask any woman, she says they want to dwell the husband. How are you looking at you? But you know, what people tell me. What do people say? You're wearing this kurta, it's rather change this kurta. This kurta doesn't look too smart. So sometimes I have to joke with them, say, yeah, when I'm going to Visible, then this kurta won't be right. But if it's Chatsworth, it's alright. Felix, it could pass. If you're going to Visible, or you're going to some of the elite areas, then see the topi is right, the kurta is right. But if it's Chatsworth or Felix, dhaki jai, it's alright, pass. So he said, I don't listen to these comments of the woman, but one place I had to listen to what she says. He says, now you're going for that bayan, now you're taking clothes, all old clothes you're taking now. You'd rather take some good kurtas, wear a good shoe, and wear a good topi and amama. Why should wear an amama now and then? Wear that nice. Because if you're going to go with that old clothes, one murid will feel sorry, hey, Hazrat's clothing is gone so old, let me buy him one kurta. His shoes, I was getting old now, let me buy him one shoes. So they'll have fikr now for you to get you up again. But if you wear a good cloth when you're going out, so they won't have any fikr about you. They say, no, he's alright. They won't want to support you. See, now this is the meaning of the hadith. مَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهِ. You'll show that I'm wealthy. I don't need these things here. So Allah Ta'ala will make you wealthy. He'll give you the richness of the heart. But if you show poverty, then that poverty will never leave you. Until you die, you'll still feel, you know, I'm battling, you know, I don't have enough. Chala kare, you know, I don't have enough. Hazrat Muhammad Sa'an Puri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. There's a student that was studying in his madrasa, Mazahir Ulum, Saharanpur, that was related to Mulana. Now, in India, when you're living in the madrasa, so 1 year, 2 years, you just sit in the madrasa, you don't move home. sort of a youngster now, you'll crave for home food. So one day the student, he says to the khadim, Mawlana's khadim, Mawlana's Saharanpuri's khadim, hey, can't make a plan for some home food. And you're stuck there. Now, they don't have all these steers and debonairs and all that. You don't have all that. But obviously, you're a human being, so you feel for something. Being a relative, so he told the khadim, the worker, hey, can't you organize some food, you know? So the khadim just spills the beans. He says, Mawlana ke ha, to aajkal faqa chal raha hai. Presently, there's extreme poverty. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. He got a shock. He said, alright, take these 100 rupees, you organize for Mawlana. Don't say it's for me, just organize. See, you don't even think about that. You don't even talk about, don't even think about that. If ever I do something like this, Mawlana will understand that ghar ka raaz faash ho gaya. The secret of the house has been exposed. You kept it as a secret that we are going through this. Nobody knows about it. Because if Mawlana should leave the home, then he's immaculate. Your beard is well combed. Al-Mufsa ibn Muhammad used to say, when he leaves the house, he looks like a gulab ki phool ki tarah. So beautiful, old, but so beautiful he looks. Well dressed, attired and all that. So nobody will say that he's a poor person. Combed, oiled, everything, clothes are very clean, all that. So nobody will ever think that he's poor. But on this side, if you look at the home, then they are living in that constraint that they're going through starvation. Faqa means starvation. Going through starvation. But that also, they don't disclose, they don't make it, and don't advertise it. You know, this is what we're going through. It's happened, alhamdulillah. We're still living, it's alright. Whatever we got, our bhaji, whatever saag and whatever we are eating, we're carrying on with life. It's not that we are, there's nothing for us to carry on, we are living. Now and then we need to talk about our Buzurganadeen and their lives, how they led their lives. You understand, you get a picture of life. Otherwise, our whole life goes, it's money, look at that. This is the goal, must get it. You got 4x4, I must get 4x4. He's got this type of clothing, I must get this type of clothing. This type of a jacket, as the Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi, he needs some winter warmth. So he bought an old jacket that was used by an army man, you know, soldiers. But that was, they normally rotate after every 5 years. So after every 5 years that he sold, it sold out one-tenth the price. So Mawlana bought that, Shaykh Hazir Ramadhali, 18 saal tak unke jism ke upar raha. 18 years it put him through. Now, our condition is such, I got a jacket, but I'm looking at what he's wearing, I need to just upgrade now. And then after a few years, I need to upgrade again. Doesn't it happen in our motor cars, in everything, upgrade. Until you die, this is your mind. I need to just upgrade. But did you ever think, upgrade my qabr, upgrade my akhirat? But the Shaykh al-Hadith Ramadhali's wife, one day she says to him, complains to him, you know, the home isn't painted. You know. I saw it in our Surat house, Salaji Manzil, I saw that those days, that first code is the last code. They don't repaint like our home now. Here, every 5, 6 years, 7 years, they would put another code. So here is lifelong, one code that remains idle. So his wife complained to him, you know, put another code. It's old now. How is looking? See, face lifted. You just improve it. So he was called a Shaykh already. He didn't earn it just like that. It came from somewhere. It came from above. So now look at the immediate response. The immediate response is, did you make all the coloring and the lighting for the qabr that you are concerned so much about this? This is a temporary phase that we are going through. That is a permanent thing. If you're so concerned about the temporary, what arrangements for the color, for the paint, for the beauty have you made for the qabr? But she was such a pious wali also, that was the first time and the last time she made such a request. She made that request, and never after that, never repeat that request. So both wife and husband, and so the yad'unana raghaba wa rahaba. asking for Allah Ta'ala. The whole motivation is that Qiyamah, Qabr, that life, life beyond. That was the whole outlook towards life. So, the Islamic concept of wealth is, one is, you don't ask. You don't aspire for what you see. You saw something, you don't aspire. It came. But now you have the wealth, you enjoy it. You don't have the wealth, be patient. It's not that, na'uzubillah, that the storehouses of Allah Ta'ala are repleted. No, it didn't finish. There's too much. There's more than what you can imagine. Much more than what you can imagine. But, وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُمٍ. Allah Ta'ala sends it down in measure and proportion. Someone He gave more, someone He gave less. And there's a reason why this type of fluctuations do take place. لَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. If Allah Ta'ala has to enlarge the sustenance for everybody in this world, then there'll be a wholesale corruption. See, like, how we stand in this world, right? Every person has greed, he has avarice, he has jealousy, he has some type of anger. Can you say anybody doesn't have it? We have it, right? It's dormant, someone is active. But it's there. Someone's is dormant and someone is active. No matter what point you reach in wealth, but you want more and more. So that avarice, that greed is there, right? But someone is not active, so he's suppressing it. So he's not active, right? As though it doesn't exist. But someone is active. But this greed, etc., is in your tabiat. Right? Now with the greed, with the jealousy, right, and the feeling of anger, etc., that I must overtake, right? Now, this is the halat in the world. This is the condition of man. And given that condition, if there was an abundance of wealth, what would have happened? Labogo, there would be transgression. You know how we say, give a youngster a phone, wealth, and free time. Right? What is it? It's a pure recipe for destruction. Isn't it a disaster? So the same happens to you. You got everything, then what is this disaster? Then you want to overtake him, he wants to overtake you. You want to hit him, he wants to hit you. He wants to smash you, you want to smash him. To overtake. You keep overtaking. In the process, you're hitting down someone. So there would have been disaster. So how Allah Ta'ala has planned the whole world, He has made a system of subserviency. So one person is subjected to the other. Right? If in the beginning of the day, right, the poor person is looking for a job, the wealthy is also dependent on a worker. His menial works can't take place without the poor. Like the poor needs the wealthy needs the poor. So there is a thing like subserviency, subjecting, right? And in this whole process, this whole exercise, the administration of the world carries on. So Allah Ta'ala has created the system like that. Yes, in Jannat, once you reach Jannat, Allah Ta'ala take us there, right? There won't be the feelings of jealousy, there won't be the feeling of pride, there won't be the feeling of anger, all these things will be deleted from your system. It's deleted class. So if I saw his Jannat 100 levels above me, then I won't be jealous for him. I won't feel envious over him. Right? Everything I see of his, right? I went as a guest at Mullah Junaid's Jannat, Allah will take us all there, right? So if I see him in a very high level, then I'm not going to be feeling jealous, what you got, I don't have that. Can't I come and park in your Jannat? So I won't have those feelings. I'll feel good for you, I'll feel good for myself. Like how it happens, right? Right? Someone has a flair for steak and chops and all, right? And someone likes masoor, he will enjoy his magni dar, right? Or some herbs and vegetable. And he'll really, really relish it. Although, in principle, we understand that the steak is superior than the mug and masoor, right? But that person is finding their enjoyment in the masoor and mug, what you are finding in your steak and chops. Though this is inferior, and that is superior. So that will be the level in Jannat, that wherever you are, you're comfortable. You got this, you're comfortable. You got this, you're comfortable. So the ladies, you have to tell them, when you talk too much about whores and all, so when you have to tell them, see, you will be the queen. The whores will all be your attendants, you know. They'll be your attendants, you the queen, don't worry. Here you're the queen, and they also you're the queen. And really, you deserve the position. Because the whores didn't work. Did they sacrifice? Did they listen to all my nonsense?
Did they serve so much? Did they keep rozas? Did they get up for tahajjud? Did they recite the Quran Sharif? They didn't do anything. And how much you had to put up with me? Forget the rest of it. How much you had to put up with me? All the nonsense that I gave you. All the sabr that you put in. Right? For that you deserve to be something. So you'll be the queen. All they will be your attendants. Don't worry. Everything will go according to your design. How great don't they feel? It's a little bit of correction in our thought, in our presentation. You make the person, you add some enjoyment to that person's life. Some joy to that person's life who has given her family, she's given up her friends, her folks, her town, everything she's given up just to come and live with you. But no token of appreciation, no nothing, absolutely nothing. Is that right? Think to yourself, is it right? وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. So Allah is speaking about the world and He's comparing it against the hereafter. So this world here is just a temporary convenience. It's just a temporary convenience. Now, unfortunately, we know these things here, but we have to be reminded of it all the time. All the time we have to be reminded. Al-Mawad Thani Sahib Rahman says, Thana Bhavan, there was a Munshi Sahib. How do you get school teachers and all this? Call them Munshi. So the Munshi will teach everything, maths and English and everything. So he'll teach, all-round teacher he is. So very much to himself, very particular, very much to himself. So over the years, he had accumulated some wealth. That time they were using gold, Ashrafi they called it. So they were using gold, and he had his gold coins all sealed up. Sealed up in a jar, locked up. So in the meanwhile, he had to go for some work to Saharanpur. Now, in the days that we were there in India, to go to Saharanpur and back, it would take at least about 5 hours. Apart from the work, it's another 2 or 7 hours. So the student saw now, you know, this Munshi Sahib now, he's gone there, and he's got this 100 gold coins in this jar, not being used. At least we'll show him how to use it, you know. So somehow they operated, how they operated, Allah Pak knows. First they got that one coin, and they laid it out. Can you imagine now, one coin, one gold coin, how much it costs, right? How much you can get out of it. So they laid out Dastar Khan, and you know, whatever they could think of, they laid it out. Meanwhile, the Munshi Sahib just rocked up at that time, when they're just starting off. When he came up there now, he said, Hazrat, come in. But the Hazrat Munshi Sahib is asking, what is the occasion? You know, so much of food and so much of lavish and preparation. What is the occasion? Hazrat, ye sab aapki juti ki barkat hai. It's all your barkat, you know. All your blessings are eating. He's eating now. And what the children are saying is, all your blessings, is getting worked up. Hey, what are they referring to? Suddenly now that he took the bet over him, had the bet over him. He said, hey, let me go and check up now. And I had 100 coins there. Is that exactly the same or something missing from there? He went, and he's counting the thing. One time he counted, 99. Second time. Now the second time he reaffirmed, 99. One thing, this happened in his zamana. So that means he's a witness to all this. He had a heart attack and he died straight away. So there was a famous alim that time in Thana Bhavan. That alim says, you see, this wealth had caused the death of a Muslim. So there can't be any barakat in it. There won't be any good because it was a cause for the death of a Muslim. Right? So there can't be any good in this wealth. See, we are looking at the one side of wealth, what we can get out of it. We'll get this. But we're not looking at it from this perspective that this wealth can also be a disaster. La tu'jibka amwaluhum wa awla. Look at this word of the Quran. How clear it is. Let that wealth and the children of theirs, children will mean followers, etc., supporters, whoever, right? Children, supporters, whatever. Don't let that astonish you. Don't you become overwhelmed when you see his wealth or you see his following and people talking good about him. Then don't let that overwhelm you. Innama yuridu Allahu liyu'adhibahum. Allah Pak wants this to be a means of his punishment. Don't you see, he's got that wealth, he can't sleep. When he didn't have that wealth, he could sleep so well. He's got that wealth now. He's got 101 figures. Hey, you know, this investment, that security, what policy I got for this. So all that figure came when that wealth came in. And there wasn't that wealth. He was living in the 2x2, but he was living quite comfortably, eating well, sleeping well, working well. But now that wealth came in, it came with all these problems, additional problems, right? So it's not just one-sided. Wealth is not just one-sided. It's got a different dimension also. So anyway, as that senior alim from that place, he says, this wealth is no good in it. So bury him with that wealth. Nobody should use that wealth. Because it resulted in the death of a Muslim. So how can there be any good and barakat in that? We're just accumulating that wealth, thinking that wealth will bring good. But it's not a guarantee. You got that wealth, and now suddenly you see your child has become a rotter. You didn't have that wealth, everything was going well. Now that wealth came in, and your wife is taking a different turn. Right? Your child is taking a different turn. The thinking has gone off. Understanding has gone off. You didn't have that child. Everybody was behaving very well. Now they got that WhatsApp, they got this thing here, they got that accessory, that gadget. Everything is in a chaotic state. We didn't have it, everything was calm. And now you got it, so everything is in chaos. So it's got a different dimension also. So we are looking at it with like a narrow, you know, tunnel vision. Wealth and good is not a guarantee. Remember, it's not a guarantee. So you ask Allah Ta'ala, ask for that barakat. So if it's barakat that has come through that wealth, then it's going to be a security. But if it's no barakat, that barakat has departed, then that is a destruction, is a disaster. So you ask him, that is why, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, not just malan kaseeran, no. I ask you, I beg you for good. So if Allah Ta'ala says that this is good, then good will come out of it. And when he says that this is good, it will be a protection and a shield for you. So it will shield you from problems, and it will lead you to good. But you just asked him randomly, I just want wealth, Allah, I just want wealth. So that's not a guarantee that it will turn out to be good. Anyway, they buried him with that wealth. One person was witnessing this whole thing, or what happened. And he says, Ye molviyo ki akal mari gayi. Sone koi kabar mein dalne ki cheez hai, dafnane ki cheez hai. Mullahs, they got mad, man. They got mad. This gold, coins, is it a thing to just throw into the ground, to throw into the grave? You heard the whole story and all. He went and unearthed the grave. When he unearthed the grave, now he saw that same gold coins all plastered over his chest. Hey, he made it so easy for me. I can just go and pull out as randomly as I want. And the moment he touched it, it was the heat of Jahannam. He had to jump out of the grave. They say for the rest of his life, Mullah saw that person perhaps, you know. For the rest of his life, his hand is to be burning. Until he doesn't immerse it into water and take it out, he feels that very uneasy feeling. See. So that wealth is not a guarantee for good. It's not a guarantee for prosperity. It's an indication. Maybe, inshallah, let's hoping good will come out. But is it a guarantee? Is it an assurance? No. Then you ask Allah Ta'ala, ask for good. So if that wealth comes in, it will not interrupt the peace of the family. It will not break up the friendship and the muhabbat of the family. Now I have to ask you, see, 50 years ago there wasn't that wealth, right? Now this wealth, right? I ask you, the muhabbat that existed 50 or 40 years ago, do you see it today? The muhabbat that was in any family, in every family, the kindness, the muhabbat, the simplicity, the goodness, that existed 40 years ago, 30 years ago, right? Whenever. But 30 years ago, and there wasn't this type of wealth. But do you see a marked difference 30 years ago and 30 years later? The muhabbat that was there, the understanding that was there, the kindness that was there, the love and the sincerity that was there. Do you see that now? So, that has it brought any good? Ask yourself, has it brought you good? So that is why the hadith teaches you, Rabbana atina fi dunya. The wisdom should like du'as that are small, comprehensive. So that you can ask it repeatedly. But understand what you're talking. See, du'a is not just a repetition of words. Du'a is you are begging Allah Ta'ala. When you're begging Allah Ta'ala, then understand what you're talking, what you're pleading for. and ask with that frame of mind. So that is now becoming a dua. Otherwise, it's just a repetition of a few words you learnt and is repeating it. Now that's the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that He's accepting this as well. But the spirit of dua is dead in you. You're supposed to be asking, I ask you for this. I'm begging. I need this, Allah Pak. Now look at the spirit of that person, or the flavor in that person's dua, who is asking in that spirit, Allah, I need, I'm desperate for this. And one of the Rabbana Adina Fidina Alam Anta Salaam Kasalam, finish. You're just going through the motions. Is there the spirit of dua contained in his words? So the easy way to lead you to the right, understand the easiest way. The easiest way can't be a better way than the way that Nabi Sam had prescribed. Nabi Sam says that maut is hazimul ladhat. You see what's happening now is our temptations are our boss. They're leading us. Temptations. They're bossing you. Do you like to be bossed around? Do you like to be manipulated? Your temptation is bossing you, is manipulating you. But then now when that is bossing you around, is manipulating you, then now there must be a cure. There isn't a problem for which Allah Ta'ala didn't send a cure. So there must be a cure for this as well. If there's a problem, Allah Ta'ala sent a cure. So what's the cure for this problem here? The cure that the hadith says, maut. Akthiru dhikra hazimil laddad. The thing that will destroy all your temptations is the thought of death. Think about it. Morning sometimes, in the evening sometimes. Sometimes you're going through a mall or whatever, right? And you see everything adorned and everything is attractive. Everything is looking so attractive, right? And think to yourself. There was one brother that came here, Ramadan, and his father was in the mall. Had a heart attack in the mall, he passed away. In the mall, whilst he's doing his shopping, he just had a heart attack. They took him to the room where they administered the first aid. In that, he passed away. So, how sudden that thing can be. You're in a hall, you're at a wedding reception. Don't you have the cases? He had some third degree, fourth degree cancer, whatever, at the hall, at his child's wedding, and then he just gave up. Don't you hear a case of a doctor? He's in a complicated surgery, right? And whilst he's in that surgery, he just got a heart attack and he passed away. Don't you hear of that? Of Maulana and his teaching. And whilst he's teaching and he's gone. India now, someone passed away just a few months ago. So he gave the bayan and then he made a dua. And when he said, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun, Salamun Al Mursaleen, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the dua ended and his life ended. All simultaneously. Dua and life both ended simultaneously. So any time it can come. So when you think about the unpredictable nature, uncertain nature of death and life, you know, how it can come to anybody, any time, any place. And then think of it on, that's the one side of the equation. Other side of the equation is when it comes, how worthless all this becomes. This, I ask you, anybody ask, you're given the last 5 minutes of your life, right? Last 5 minutes. And they ask you, we give you a choice. You want to make wuzu and read 2 rakat namaz, or you want 150 trillion pounds, what you want? You want 150 trillion pounds on the one end, and on the other end, you got just wuzu and 2 rakat namaz. Anybody, any Muslim, with an iota of iman, what will he say? So that's the worthlessness of this world. So it's not a thing to be worshipped, not a thing to boss you around, not a thing to manipulate you. Yes. Use it and leave it. Use it and leave it. Don't live for it. Don't attach your heart to it. Allah Pak Tawfeeq.